Yeah, power versus freedom. That's what we're talking about tonight. So why does the capital do all this, all these acts of extreme power? Well, they're afraid of losing their power. They're afraid of the people in the districts rising up against them and causing a rebellion. So the Hunger Games, which is the actual games in the arena, is the ultimate display of the government's power. And again, it's designed to warn anyone against a rebellion. So the games prevent a rebellion by causing all of the districts to fight against each other for the death. Now, just as we may watch a football game on TV, the Hunger Games is broadcasted for all to see, almost like, well, it is like entertainment, except we're not watching football and men run around on a field. We're watching teenagers fight for the death, which isn't so good. So when we read the book, if we have a look at the next slide, we can see that in the capital, they have these amazing landscapes, awesome costumes. Well, some are debatable, but they've got, full-on makeup, hair. They're pretty much living the life. And although it might seem a bit fake to us, they seem to be happy, loving life. And then you've got the people in the districts, bottom right-hand corner. Katniss and her family, they're just scraping by in life, working hard. Yeah, they're fairly poor and dressed fairly plainly. And in the book and in the movie, you can see such a big contrast between the two. Now, we might look at the capital in disgust and think how horrible and selfish they are, that they're simply greedy and power-driven. But today I want to suggest that our world may not be that different from the capital in some ways. There are some similar characteristics that I've been thinking about that also appear in our lives today. So overall, in our world, I would say that the greatest goal is probably comfort. We dress for comfort. We eat more than we really need to for comfort. We live in nice houses. It's all for comfort. Yeah, just like in the districts here, we also have children and families who are struggling in Melbourne and, struggling on the very own streets, like half an hour away or even in this neighbourhood. Who knows? In society today, we also look down on people. We discriminate and we judge, what jobs people have, where people go to school, whether someone's studying at university or doing a trade, what people wear. You might be judging my outfit right now. That's fine. We're all guilty of it. We all do judge. So now I'm going to show you a clip from The Hunger Games. Yeah, it's awesome. It's a scene where President Snow, who's the president of the Capitol, is talking about hope and what he thinks about it. So have a look up at the screen. Stall for time. How good's this picture? So I typed in hope to Google. Don't need my story. That's fine.
What do you mean?
I mean, why do we have a winner? Hope.
Hope?
Hope. It is the only thing stronger than fear. A little hope is effective. A lot of hope is dangerous. A spark is fine, as long as it's contained.
So,
contain it.
Whoa. I think that clip is, it's fascinating. So as you saw, President Snow is saying that a lot of hope is dangerous and therefore to contain it. And in the Hunger Games, they do this. It shows the ability of the capital to contain the hope of all the tributes and everyone watching the games. So what happens in the Hunger Games if... I saw it a while ago, but I'm just going to try and remember. Things seem to be going well for one of the tributes. They seem to be doing well. And then the capital is like, no, that's not good. We're going to put them back in their place. And so they send, raging fire and or deathly animals just to, shut them down because that's the type of power that they have. They can change the game and add unfair, disadvantages to whoever they want to. So in our society today, I want to put forth the idea that there is a type of hope that no one can contain. And that hope that I believe is found in God. So we have a God who presents this absolutely amazing offer of freedom, free of any sort of misuse of power and social hierarchy. Now, I personally have hope because I know that Jesus died and rose again. And because of this, I believe that actually anything is possible through God and that this freedom is available to anyone who wants it. So the Hunger Games suggests that people can't change the world because the capital has ultimate control. But we as Christians believe that we actually can change the world. And we can do this. I know it sounds cliche, but we can change the world. Like, we can do this by looking at what Jesus did. So when Jesus came to earth a long, long time ago, he walked around and was a living proof that you can be non-discriminatory to people. Now, what do I mean when I say non-discriminatory? It's a long word. Yes, sir. Not judging people. Yeah, basically. So, yeah, did you want to say something, Adam? Not discriminating. Yep, not excluding, treating everyone the same. Awesome answers. So yeah, Jesus went around teaching and visiting people, and every single person he met, he treated the same. Everyone was on the same level, which I just think is awesome. He made no unfair calls and no separations of people, didn't put people into districts or categories. Everyone was the same. And he liked to hang out with everyone. Now, he certainly did hang out with rich people and lawmakers, but he actually spent majority of his time with poor people and with prostitutes and tax collectors and people who others would typically think are lower in society. Now, we're going to have a Bible reading up on the screen. Does someone want to read it out for us? Yeah, volunteer. Awesome.
Once again, Jesus went beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners."
That's reading. Great reading. Have many people heard that story before? Anyone? Raise your hand. A couple of you? Yeah, you might have heard a variation of it. But I'm sure you can all agree with me, there are people in life who just don't really like to hang around. Maybe it's the people who aren't as cool as you because they're nerdy or they dress weirdly, or maybe it's the people who are cooler than you and look down on you and therefore you just can't stand the thought of being near them. Many people won't admit it, but I think there are people that we all just find difficult to be around. Now, if we look back at the story we just read, the Pharisees back in Jesus' day were the religious leaders in the Jewish society, and they were all about focusing and following the laws, full on focusing these laws. Now, they thought that spending time with tax collectors and sinners was ridiculous. They couldn't believe that Jesus had done this in the story. They thought it was immoral, and they even banned them from coming into the temple, making them feel like outcasts and rejects. So, we have this massive dinner party going on in the story, as you can see up there. Jesus is sitting at the table with the tax collectors and sinners, and the Pharisees can't believe it, and they ask him why he does this. Basically, Jesus' answer is showing that he is declaring to the world God's love for these people. He says, "It is not the healthy who need the doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Which is pretty cool. Basically, he's saying that healthy people obviously don't need a doctor. They're fine. It is the people who don't have everything together that need Jesus, and that's why he came. And that's pretty much like all of us, to be honest. None of us are perfect. We're all broken. We're all hurting. We've all got our own problems. Everyone's got different ones. Some are worse than others, but we all do have our own problems, and we all need God's grace. So as a Christian, I want to encourage you to live like Jesus. In this story, we can see that he was welcoming to absolutely every single person. He was sitting with the prostitutes and having dinner with them, which is a pretty big thing to do. So we should also try and live a life that welcomes in everyone. Try and look at people through God's eyes. I often try to do this. Obviously, I'm not going to be a pro at it, but if we wake up in the morning and we want to look at people through God's eyes, you'll be amazed at how you can actually see some pretty cool things. So, what are we going to do? We need to watch out for our capital-like tendencies. Now, what do I mean by capital-like tendencies? Well, it's the things that we do in society that aren't actually that different from the way the capital acts in the Hunger Games. Now, what you've got to do for this is watch how you use your power. You may be sitting there thinking, what power? I don't have any power in society. I'm just a normal school kid, you know, just doing my thing. But we actually do all have our own levels of power. And power can be great when it's used for good. I think people think of power probably in a bad way most of the time, but it's actually a good thing. It's just when power is misused that it is bad. And that's what we've seen with the capital. So for us, I think we particularly have power in social situations. Here's some examples of what you could do. If you're popular, don't walk around letting everyone know how good you are, but instead include people and love people. Take the time to sit with people who really need a friend or, yeah, just need someone to talk to. If you're smart, don't act in a way that makes other people feel really dumb, so don't go around just blabbing about all your knowledge, but instead help people who need that help. And if you're from a wealthy family, maybe you should consider sharing your things more or buying someone lunch or having someone over to use the things at your house. It's just simple things like this. And yeah, as we were saying before, just don't discriminate. So yeah, just try and look at people through God's eyes. And I know I'd said it before, but you'll actually be amazed at what you can see when looking through it from another perspective. Because to us, even though we've all done different sins, we are actually all equal in God's eyes, which is really awesome. So I want to leave you with that thought. Think about how you're going to use your power to bring good and to bring others freedom. We all have this power inside of us. And yeah, you can use it, you can misuse it in ways like the capital, or you can use it for the good of others. So have a think about that for the rest of the night. I think we're going to have some discussion groups where you can talk about that as well. But first, I might just pray for us all. So if you pray, please pray with me. Otherwise, just close your eyes in silence. Dear God, I thank you so much that you sent your son Jesus to walk on this earth and that you gave us an example for us to follow in our lives. I thank you that he was so generous and so loving and welcomed absolutely everyone. And I really pray that you can help us to do that as well, to look at people through your eyes and, yeah, just to try and live the way Jesus did by welcoming everyone and not discriminating. God, we know that we can only do this with your help. So, yeah, we really ask for your help with that. Pray all these things in your name. Amen.